What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fists. It's your favorite show without an intro. And we are live. It is Tuesday, October 8th, after a weekend of upsets. And, like we said, sometimes the slates that don't look as good kind of deliver in some certain spots. So, here we are.
Yeah, some of the games you could kind of predict that it could be an upset, but Vandy was just...
And it's like... It's not like Alabama didn't put up points.
Yeah, I know. That's the scary thing if you're an Alabama fan.
Yeah, it's... The defense kind of did get exposed in the Georgia, the third, the fourth...
You saw
the soft spots in the defense, and you
But we were saying that, like, going into Georgia week versus Wisconsin and stuff, they had, like, there was open throws. Wisconsin just couldn't connect.
Yeah, and I think Bama's going to drop one or two more, in my opinion.
I'd have to look at their schedule, but I don't think they're going to win at Tennessee.
Yeah.
If their secondary's like that.
I'm kind of saying that off rip, even without looking at their schedule. I think they're going to drop one or two more. You kind of just look at some of the offenses that they got to go up against a Tennessee
and that's
team.
And that's why Saban didn't pick them to win the SEC preseason.
Well, yeah. He told us right in our faces that they're... That their secondary was no bueno. Let's start off on Friday night. We had Syracuse at UNLV. Syracuse pulls off 44-41. Pretty exciting game. I fell asleep, dude.
I fell asleep too.
I fell asleep in the fourth quarter. Right before a fourth down conversion on Syracuse's game time drive in regulation, they went to that commercial break or whatever, and I literally shut my eyes and I never woke up. And I was like, no way. They stood strong, right? They stood strong,
yeah.
Right? Check the score. They lost in overtime. I was like,
I heard there was a bad penalty.
Yeah, there was. The one in overtime was they called like. I think it was roughing the passer.
Roughing the passer, yeah.
Yeah, they called it roughing the passer. But to be honest, it should have never gotten to overtime. I went back. I saw a clip. Fourth and one. UNLV snuffed out the play. It was. I think the safety came down.
And they missed the tackle.
He didn't wrap. He literally, yeah. And the running back just bounced right off him and ended up getting the first down conversion, which is disappointing.
I'm seeing so many times in these games, even in NFL, that, like, they're not rapping and tackling at all. Dude, they're just, like, trying to punch the ball.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Joey Porter on Sunday night literally was – he was squared up with the guy. Dude, he just, like, threw a right hook at the – and then he's, like – and then after the play, he's like this. He probably, like, fucked up his wrist because he
He hit him right in the shoulder pads.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but there's been some weird things going around all around.
Like when you're trailing a guy, that's when you punch. Like you don't just like come when he's coming at you, like duck out of the way and punch at the ball.
Yeah,
he knows you're there.
Lots of gun celebrations.
I don't understand that.
I saw a guy. It was like a FCS game. He went sword. And then as the receiver was walking around, he went double pistols up to him. I'm like, what? And the refs were literally looking right at him, just throws the flag. It's like, what are we doing?
Like, it's not even a cool celebration, though. Like,
I know, but it's ruined the first down celebration because now, like, the first down celebration of that, now they're calling that guns. It's
I saw that on Sunday. Was that Darius Slayton?
Yeah, it happened a couple times on Sunday. It started week one, LSU versus USC. That's like the first, he did it to the DB, and then like it's just been
It was a flag, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a flag, and then he was on the bench and he was telling everyone what he did, and he was, it's like, what are we doing?
I can't believe that's like a rule. Like, now, no brandishing a weapon.
Well, I get like the wet, like the sword, but like.
Like, yeah.
The sword's fine, but like, you can't be airing out the like. I don't think you could be doing that.
I mean, that's just a little bit of excessive.
Yeah, and then the was it Minnesota who he lifted up his he lifted up his shirt, acting like he had a pistol in his waistband.
Well, that's what they're doing first. They're like lifting up their shirt, then they're shooting at him.
I don't know when this trend started. I think this is the first year of it. I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you can barely even taunt. What makes you think you can shoot a gun at him?
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah, unfortunate for my UNLV Red Rebels. But, dude, when you think about UNLV, think about the schedule that they've played. This was like.
Yeah, I know.
This
yeah.
was their third Power 4 opponent, I think. They opened up with. Oh, my God. As a fan of the program,
Houston.
Houston. Yeah, thank you. Houston. Then they played Kansas. And then they played Syracuse.
Yeah, is that it? I feel like we're missing one.
Did they play? Did they play another one? Because they played
Fresno.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah, yeah. Because they played Fresno State, then they played like.
I mean, Fresno's not a bad team.
Yeah, and they wiped the floor with them. I mean, I'm still
the offense.
I'm still on the Red Rebels. Like, that's. You know, that's a good, like, that's not like, that's a solid Syracuse team, and they, in my opinion, should have came out victorious.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you kind of, like, Syracuse just lost 2 weeks ago to Stanford. Like, if they drop another one, they're basically done.
Yeah, and it's a, it's disappointing, you know, as a Red Rebel, being ranked right there and then dropping your first game as ranked.
But yeah, but they didn't. That does nothing to their. I think it's just going to come down to who wins that Boise State game, probably.
Yeah, and remind me after we talk about these games, there's actually something I want to talk about the playoff, because I was totally wrong and I re-educated myself on the playoff. And I want to get into that a little bit, because it totally changes how I'm going to seed the 12 teams. In my prediction. Yeah, UNLV has Utah State this week. They're 18.5.
That's it?
Yeah, I love it.
Are they at home?
Away.
Okay.
But, yeah, disappointing for the Red Rebels. But let's get into Missouri at Texas A&M. Texas A&M 41, Missouri 10. I mean, I kind of said it last week. I said, you can't just turn it on. You can't just play a team that's up to caliber and just like snap your fingers and you're going to play good. And Missouri hasn't showed anything all year that they're like a capable football team. And I don't know what it is. It's weird. They had that year last year.
Yeah.
And this year they're just a totally different
And it's not like team. They lost a lot on the defense last year, but it's really not like the defense. Like, they can't put up points.
The offense isn't putting up points, and I didn't get a chance to watch this game as it was a noon game. And I haven't had a chance to go back and rewatch it, but 10 points.
I mean, I watched it it was like 17-0 quick.
Yeah.
But Missouri had some chances, like a couple overthrown balls, and Luther Burton had like a 70-yard touchdown called back. Early.
Did Reed start for A&M?
No, like when I looked up, Waitman was in.
Okay. I know he was like a game time decision, so I wasn't sure if they were gonna go back to him or not.
Yeah, I don't know if he started, but like I was watching Penn State, then I looked down and he was in because I thought Reed was gonna start. Right. Yeah, he didn't throw a pass.
Who?
Reed.
He didn't throw a single pass?
No. And Waitman looked good.
Okay. Maybe he got tired of the people trolling him on Twitter. Hey, give me my shoes. Texas A&M. I wouldn't have surprised me if they sneak in the playoffs. I'm just saying it right now.
I know. I think they're one of the better teams in the SEC.
Yeah, and since this is just a recap episode and we're not, like, previewing anything, I actually we'll talk a little bit about I just said that, but we'll just talk a little bit more about the 12-team playoff in a little midweek.
And if you look at A&M's schedule, dude, they go at Mississippi State, home against LSU, at South Carolina, New Mexico State, Auburn, then Texas the last game.
Yeah, they could be 10-2.
I think they're going to make the SEC championship. Because that's only one loss in the SEC if they lose to Texas.
That's also valid. I guess we'll see how the cookie crumbles over there. But big win for A&M. They're clicking. Elko's got the boys going now.
The defense has always been there. If they keep consistent offense, they'll be real good.
Yeah, that's why those week one games are tricky against those powerful, because like it's really not who the better team, like it's who's clicking right then and now. Week one.
Yeah, and they had like new coach, new faces on offense. Like
week one's just tricky because you know you go through spring ball, then you have like the summer workouts, but you're not practicing. Then like the guys are kind of just working out on their own, with routes and stuff outside the weight room, and then you have fall camp, and then week one you have to play Notre Dame. Like obviously Notre Dame had to do it too, but like.
Yeah, and fall camp, it's not like the NFL camp where you know who's starting and you're kind of, like, preparing for the season. Like, you're fighting for jobs.
Yeah. Good for A&M down there. West Virginia at Oklahoma State. Talk about an ass-whooping. I saw this from a mile away. I couldn't believe that this was plus money. Show me my money! I mean...
I can't believe it was the way it was, though.
Yeah, honestly, I'll be completely honest. I was out to eat, so I didn't get a chance to like fully watch the game, but like
West Virginia just ran it down their throat.
And that was expected.
Yeah, but I was expecting Ollie Gordon to have a little bit of an impact since West Virginia's run defense.
Yeah, I did see Garrett Green got a little banged up though.
Yeah, he got tackled and landed right on his shoulder.
Yeah, I saw
he was out for a series.
Yeah, I saw a number, Nico.
Yeah, he had 7 carries for 50 yards. Yeah. Like, even he was running the ball.
Yep. OK State's dead in the water, week 6. They just never showed up, which is completely surprised because don't go back to episode 1 of season 3 this year because I did pick Oklahoma State to win the Big 12, and that was – I couldn't have ever been wronger from – anything. Like I mean so
it's
wrong.
It's insane though how they're like they can't run the ball at all. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't really
he got hurt too. Ollie Gordon got hurt at the end of the game or like midway through the third, I think.
Well, he should just
it was his knee like helmet straight on the knee. I don't know how serious it is, but
yeah. He should definitely take a couple weeks or a season or the season off. So we talked about Alabama at Vandy. Alabama has scored like, I don't know, 50 points a game to win in the SEC, I think.
It's crazy. I mean, I didn't turn it on and really start watching it till
later like, on, yeah.
Till later on the second or third quarter.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, they're just gonna run away with it now. But
yeah, it was a game break. There was a game break on one of the other games I was watching, and I switched it over on the other TV. I was like, yeah, we're gonna.
Well, win. I saw they were down like 2 touchdowns right away, but I was like, I mean, it's probably just a hangover. They're gonna roll in the second half.
Yeah, it was right after the pick six. Threw a pick six. That was a game. Yeah. It's like the offense has to be almost perfect and score on almost every single possession.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm actually going to pull up the time. Do you have the time of possession up?
I do not.
Hold on 1 second, fellas.
I mean, every time I watched, it felt like Vandy had the ball.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Vanderbilt, like, dominated the time of possession.
42 minutes to 17. That's crazy.
Yeah, and then they outgained them 418 to 394, outrushed them 166 to 84. 12 for 18 on third downs.
And Vanderbilt was just like hitting explosives, though, like.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that guy, that quarterback, Pavia. I mean,
I remember him too from New Mexico State. I didn't know that he went there.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of like glossed over, dude. I feel to Vanderbilt. I'm so sorry I disrespected you in our season preview. We didn't say a word about you. I think all we said was, "Is that scoreboard completed?" And the answer is no. There is still construction behind that scoreboard. And then we said, "Vandy's gonna be Vandy." But man, they're building.
Then they beat your boys week one.
They beat who?
Virginia Tech.
Was I high on Virginia Tech this year? I don't think I was.
yeah, you were.
Dude, but honestly, who else did Vandy? Vandy had a bad loss against Missouri.
State.
Georgia State and Mizzou are two games I think they should have ended up winning.
Well, Mizzou definitely. I don't know about Georgia State. I really didn't watch that game.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, but I'm saying like it's a game on the schedule that they should have won. So I mean, seems like the quarterback's got some swag to him. I was listening to another show. And they were saying that he was a JUCO kid. But, hey, what do I know? he was a JUCO kid, and then he went to New Mexico.
He played 2 years at New Mexico State.
Yeah, then he went to New Mexico. Is it New Mexico or New Mexico State?
New Mexico State.
Yeah, he went there. And I'm pretty sure he started as – he was a walk-on at first at New Mexico State.
I know he started the second year. I don't think he started the first.
Yeah, but he wasn't a Scully kid at first, I don't think. Comes to Vandy, and he's just, I mean,
well, he's pretty little.
Yeah, I know, but he's pretty, like, he's pretty electric.
Yeah, he's mobile, yeah.
Vandy's kind of been fun to watch this year.
I mean, that's the first game, real game, I really watched.
I mean, okay, all right, Vandy versus Virginia Tech was probably the last Vandy game I watched.
I think you watched Missouri.
I don't think
the overtime game?
I don't think I did.
No, I didn't really watch it.
I watched it.
You texted me about it.
Hey, what do I know? I'm actually going to take a quick look at Vandy's schedule here. Sorry, guys.
I still think they're only going to probably be like a 6-1 team, right?
I'm going to take a look at this Kentucky line, and if it's favorable in Kentucky, I might take Kentucky for a hangover game against Vandy.
Kentucky's minus 14.
Oh, dude. If it was like 8.5, I'm going to stay away. I already have like five games like slated in my head. Obviously, this is just a recap, so you guys are going to have to watch on Thursday for that. Or tomorrow, actually, not Thursday, but good for Vandy, man. All right, let's get into the Tennessee at Arkansas. Arkansas 19, Tennessee 14. I mean, we didn't talk about it on the show last week. Last week, we kind of were sleepwalking the slate.
I texted you after. I texted you that.
Yeah, you called it. You said you could see Arkansas, you know, giving Tennessee a game. And I said something about Arkansas couldn't beat A&M and you expect them to beat Tennessee.
It probably should have been by more points.
Well, yeah, because in the first half they couldn't convert anything. I think in the first half they should have been up like at least like 17.
Yeah, and after I seen that, like I was like, okay, they're gonna probably lose. Yeah, like, because when you blow opportunities like that.
Because Tennessee came out right off rip and put together a nice drive.
2 4th-and-1s they didn't get, right?
Yeah, it was
like in Tennessee territory.
It was 2 4th-and-1s and a missed field goal. And yeah. The kicker kind of like it looked like he was pointing at his like hip flexor groin area, like he was like limping. I don't know if he came back in the game or if that's just like, oh man, I pulled that to the left type of move there. So, I mean, I don't know what did you see? Did you see the comparisons of Milton and Nico? Because in one of Milton's starts, he ran out of bounds whenever they had the ball at the 21-yard line in the fourth quarter, and the score was like the exact same. And it was like the last play of the game, and he did the same thing. He literally just ran out of bounds.
I don't understand why he didn't just chuck it up.
He was like looking for someone to be completely open to throw. It's like, dude, it's the last play of the game. They know you're going to the end zone. Like, you got to at least give one of your receivers a chance. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, scrambling or, like, running out of bounds? Like, that's the
He, like, it was too late before he realized he already, like,
I think, like, he, like, had a time in his head, like, okay, if there's nothing, I'm just going to, like, scamper out of bounds or something.
Yeah,
but it was way too long. I mean, there was only 6 seconds on the. I think there was only 6 seconds on the game clock whenever they snapped
it. There wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it's just I guess he's still a freshman or.
Yeah, I'm still not a believer.
I'm also not a believer. And I really haven't been a believer because
Texas, didn't I?
Yeah, you mean Tennessee. Because Panthers up on the Bruins big, but Tennessee and Ole Miss are kind of similar. In a way, they have high power offenses. They beat the dog and they go fast. They beat the dog breaks off these bad teams who can't match them in speed and size, and they put up a million points. But as soon as they play a big bully school or like a school with the same resources, who's you know not even like a great team, but like you know.
They're, you're not just going to run past them and throw bombs.
Yeah. You're not going to, like, play, like, backyard football against them, you know. Yeah. You're going to have to line up and execute. They get fraud checked every single time.
That's why I was like, I don't understand the Tennessee hype. They do this every year.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I got to deal with it for the first 3 weeks of everyone hyping up Tennessee until they play somewhere. And it's like, oh, I forgot. They're still located in Knoxville. They still wear the orange and the white, and their fans are still the worst, and the fans will treat you terribly. They'll throw golf balls at you, and they'll do all these things. But when the lights shine the brightest, the Vols are nowhere near to be found. That's how they are. And that's why, I mean...
I'm kind of pissed. I told JR, like, I think Arkansas is going to win, and he took them, but I didn't take them.
What was the money line on that?
Well, he took the 14.5 at first, then he ended up getting money line at like 360, but it was 480 to start.
Dude, you know what they call me on the streets? The money line sniper. That's what they've been calling me.
That's what they call me after the Miami win, dude.
Okay, that's a lie. That was a live play. You didn't see, that's a live play. That's a good call. I mean, dude, they used to call me the live money line sniper back in the day, but I stopped with the live plays once I realized that whenever I was streaming the games, I was probably 30 to 45 seconds behind the live odds. And then
you got to wait till a commercial to check.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there was this time. I was like, they're driving. Why'd the odds just totally, like,
flip?
Oh, that's why the dude just shanked a field goal 15 yards left. But, yeah, that has nothing to do with this. But, yeah, I mean, Tennessee, I at least see one more loss for them, if not two.
Who do they play in? So I know they play Alabama at home.
So Alabama at home, then they go to Athens. And don't sleep on Vandy. They have to go to Vandy rivalry weekend.
Yeah, I don't see that happening
they're
again.
They're saying the Commodores are for real this year.
I don't know but like I'm taking Texas A&M every week now.
Dude, I have a couple teams. Like it doesn't matter what the slate is. I have a couple teams that I'm just riding, but you guys are gonna have to find out those teams on tomorrow.
I'm sure they can guess.
I mean,
dude, we only bet them like how many weeks in a row.
All right. Well, I have one. Dude, how about Indiana? I mean, this is kind of off topic, but. 4th and 5, and you're already up by 10. And instead of kicking the field goal to go up 13, you go for it and you score and then you cover. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I need a touchdown here. And then what do you know? 4th and 5, they go for it on like the 30. And then I was like, let's go.
I mean, I guess it's a good call because 13 does nothing.
I know. Line was 13.5, too.
Ooh. Yeah.
Great. Cignetti be smoking it up in Bloomington. He'd be smoking all the cigs. All right. Let's talk about Miami 39 at Cal 38. I mean, dude, I told you. All right, guys. Let's go back to memory lane here. ACC football preview. Go back to it. I forget the episode number. I said one of the teams to watch were the Cal Golden Bears. I mean, they're a solid squad. I mean, last week they should beat Florida State, which isn't saying much. Okay, let me take back. The point being is this should be their first loss. I thought Miami was kind of just gonna swoop. I thought Cal's, I don't know. I thought Cal's something was gonna get exposed, but they come out guns a blazing, like shoop. And like Cam Ward, I mean, if you watched him last year at Washington State, like he can be electric, or he can like literally like.
Dude, that pick six was awful.
You're talking about, is that the one where he rolled all the way to the sideline and threw it to the other hash? Middle. Yeah, like he literally threw it to the other hash, and that's probably a 43-yard throw, I think, from sideline to the other hash or something like that. Or 35. It doesn't matter about the logistics. Sideline to sideline is 53.5 yards, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just throwing it to the middle of the field is a no-no.
Yeah, anytime. Like, any throwing across your body is literally like the cardinal sin of all the cardinal sins. Putting the ball in harm's way like that is the cardinal sin of cardinal sins. They say the ball is the program. You protect the ball. Like, when you make throws like that, bad things happen.
Yeah. I don't know what he was doing, but he made up for it.
Yeah, and this Miami team, I am not sold.
Yeah, but those are two Miami losses that they usually lose that they won.
Yeah, which means those losses are coming back in blood.
I don't even know their schedule. Like, do they even play Clemson?
Dude, they had the biggest cakewalk of a schedule I've ever seen.
Louisville will give them a game.
I'm out on the Redbirds. I like riding Louisville early in the season, and then the wheels kind of fall off.
Yeah, but they're at home. I feel like Miami has a bye though.
All right, so they have at Louisville, they have Florida State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Syracuse. Their biggest test is going to be the ACC championship game against Pitt, but
maybe if Clemson didn't exist.
Yeah, but guess what? Clemson's going to have to go to Pitt, and they're going to have to play the Panthers in November.
I can't wait to hammer Clemson.
See, look, that's when the knife crosses the road, because
I have no idea what you're trying to say.
It's whenever something crosses the road, I forget, or whenever the roads, it doesn't matter what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is Clemson's been a wagon this year. Like, I love it. I can't believe I'm getting them at -20. This week at Wake Forest, a team that
I know,
totally dominated.
No picks.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying, like, I can't believe, like, a game that they've dominated. Like, Wake Forest is their little bitch.
Like, that was a scary cover, though.
Dude, I might go to Wake Forest this weekend just to see Clemson smack the fuck out of Wake Forest live. Just kidding. I would not be doing that because it's way too good of. If it was like last week's slate, I would most definitely go to Wake, and I'd most definitely go see Clemson go smack around the Deacons.
You can tell that he's on a mission though, Sweeney.
Dude, it's a totally different team. They look totally different. Remember, they have Lincoln Riley's little brother, Garrett Riley,
from
OC.
TCU.
Yep. And last year, it looked like they didn't give him full reign. This year, it looks like they're kind of giving him full reign to do stuff. And they're letting Cade throw the ball.
He looks good.
I mean,
he's running all over the place, too.
Yeah, dude, it's like every single time I look over at the screen with Clemson, they're in the end zone. Yeah. And it's usually an explosive.
Like, yeah, they've all been explosive.
Like, I really haven't seen Esme, like, or not Esme.
Film off. He looks like Estime, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I haven't seen Moffa, like, break. Like, unless I'm being a total casual here, but has Moffa,
he broke one at the end of the game.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but, like, it's been mostly Klubnik.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, like... And I'm the biggest Clemson hater out there. But there's only one thing I care about.
Dabo told you to buy stock.
There's only one thing I care about, and that's making money. And Clemson's been making me money this year, and I'll put the hatred aside for Dabo and his little let's rank Ohio State number 13 or 12 or whatever. aside, I'll put we've been using naming. I'll put all the corny comments behind, like. A show I was listening to was like, don't be surprised if Dabo comes out here and wins doing it his way. Like, dude, imagine if Dabo goes out there and wins the national championship without one single transfer, just all homegrown talent.
I mean, if you get the recruits, I mean, you can do it. It's just a lot harder to regroup
It takes time. Yeah, it's like rare. Like your recruits are going to be playing true freshmen.
Yeah, there's a big difference. It's like there's a big difference between an 18-year-old and a 24-year-old now.
It's like redshirt sophomores is kind of probably where they're like peaking physically, like where they put on the weight and stuff. And getting used to the speed of the game in college is just totally different. That's like
that's the biggest difference. Because a lot of the guys are, I mean, they're talented enough to play. They're not ready yet.
There's just adjustments. There's adjustments to running a college offense versus a high school offense. There's adjustments to the defensive calls, the defensive schemes.
You went from, like, the most athletic kid on the field every night to just a regular guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's 60 guys on the roster who are just as talented. You know, obviously there's 85 scholarship players. Which is interesting now. I know we're kind of off topic here, but it's kind of interesting now that the scholarship limits are taken out.
Yeah, and did you see the transfer rule?
Mm-mm.
Instead of the 45-day period, it's a 30-day period now. Like during the winter, yeah,
dude. But dude, that the winter one, so like it's like that time they need to just like scrap that one. I think it's such a.
It says preserve transfer spring transfer window.
Because the winter transfer portal is so weird, because you have your bowl game, so you have people in your on your current team while you're trying to chase a natty entering the portal.
I don't think you should be able to. Do that.
Yeah, that's why they should totally scrap the like that or move the date. But it's like, but then the semester starting right there in the middle of January. But it's like,
yeah.
So if you kind of want to be at your new squad in spring ball, so it's just like a weird. And let's talk about this. This is the one thing I hate.
Or you just make it. If you want to stop all the bullshit, just make them sit out a year. Nobody's gonna transfer like that.
The one thing I hate, man, and like it's like, all right, the portal has its positives, but goddamn, does it have its negatives, dude? This redshirting in the middle of the season horseshit, and just like this gotta be one of the worst things to ever happen in college football.
Yeah, I'd be wrong to say they should just scrap that. Like, you have to be injured or like a freshman to get redshirt or like not playing, you know?
Yeah,
but.
It's like, because it's like, it's usually like, so you arrive on campus or whatever, and then like the first depth chart comes, like and then like the group of freshmen, they usually know like who they're redshirting and all that's like communicated. Like now you just got kids like come like who are like juniors or sophomores who haven't used their redshirt year yet, and they're just redshirting themselves. You had Shane Beamer say so Kamara, who's a Pitt transfer to South Carolina linebacker, he's the most recent to do it like yesterday, and like Shane Beamer at his press conference was like, yeah, Kamara like came in my office and told me he's redshirting, and I told him I don't think that's really how this works, like you know, like that's it's really not how the whole redshirt thing is like supposed
you
to
designate
happen.
A redshirt to begin the year, and if somebody gets hurt, whatever, you have to play, then you play, but other than, you know what I mean, other than an injury, like if you tear your ACL week one or something.
Did you hear Lincoln's suggestion on what he thinks?
No.
He said just take the redshirt completely out and just give guys 5 years. Like, just give them, like, 5 years of eligibility. And that's your time. You have 5 years, no redshirt. Because you have these – so most of these guys who are, like, have been doing it, like, none of them have – besides the guy from UNLV, they haven't been, like, full-time starters. It's been because of, like, playing time and such. But, like – Lincoln's guy, who was, he's at two now. One was in the second.
Bear Alexander.
One was, and then whatever. But there, he's like, yeah, some of these guys could are like big contributors on like special teams. And we're having to like kind of
well,
like fill.
He also was like one of their like better D linemen, I'm pretty sure.
Well, yeah, well, him. But then they had another guy in the secondary who was.
And you could see that on Saturday. I mean, they couldn't stop Minnesota from running the ball.
Yeah, which is wait tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm heavy on a certain team going out west. But the it needs something to change. I don't know if that's. I kind of like Lincoln's idea. Just get rid of the redshirt completely. Just give guys 5 years.
Yeah, or you just. I mean, what about grad transfers then? You just get 5 years.
See, look, that's something I didn't think about.
But that's technically your fifth year anyways.
Yeah, that is your fifth year.
But can you redshirt, graduate, then grad transfer? Like, so you get six? Technically.
Like,
redshirt your freshman year, then you graduate after, well, that'd be 4 years. Or that'd be five. Because you
five.
Don't play, yeah.
You would have to
and
get
then a... you that. That'd be six.
So if you can have a medical redshirt on top of your redshirt.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think you can redshirt. I'd have to.
No, I'm saying grad transfer.
Yeah.
Like you redshirt your freshman year, then you play till your
senior
year.
Yeah, then you grad. Yeah. I think that's all fair in game. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
I
could
so.
Be wrong.
I don't know. Guys get so many years now, I don't understand.
Yeah, I'd have to follow up with the NCAA compliance, but I don't think they know what the hell is going on nowadays.
No. I mean, if you really want to eliminate all the bullshit, just make them sign contracts.
That's where we got to go. We got to go to the I think that's where. But then it's like, whenever you sign contracts.
I mean, kids could get screwed and shit. That's why they don't want to do it.
It's just such a gray area. Because technically pay for play is illegal, but it's like supposed to be like bundled into this NIL. But
the NIL was just like, if I'm like Bryce Young in college and I'm going to win the Heisman this year, I can go make money off my name.
Yeah. Like
it wasn't supposed to be, I'll pay you to come here.
Yeah. It's the whole NIL thing totally got lost in the sauce here because it's like name, image, likeness is so I can use my name. And my image,
and build a brand, yeah.
And my likeliness to go benefit off that. But now it's totally not that, and it's turned to teams and collectives and boosters and donors. They're like, I'll give you $500,000 a year, and I'm going to bundle it in the NIL package, and you're going to come do this one-off commercial. So we clean our money. It's basically like the collectives are cleaning their money and the schools are cleaning their money because they're paying for play, but they're cleaning it with NIL.
Yeah.
You know?
But then, like, I mean, you're starting to see it already. They're making, like, false promises, or they're hearing wrong shit, and they're
Yeah,
getting
but
screwed.
like, and that's why, like, there's like a lot of these, some of these kids are like being surrounded by like bad agents because they're,
Yeah, but I
so they
don't think
have.
they realize there's not, like, that much money to go around. You know what I
Yeah, I
mean?
know. Yeah. They have all these people in their ear because they're hearing all these numbers like, oh, this guy got one. But in reality, I think a lot of these numbers are inflated, but we don't really know what these kids are being paid because it's
Yeah.
all a sh 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 like we don't really know how much they're getting paid in the grand scheme of things because
I
it's
don't think they really know until they get paid.
yeah, I know. Well, I think the good I don't like the only way a collective with contracts is if they like are like, all right, these are the deals we have lined up for you, like these like name, image, likeness deals, and they're gonna pay you this, that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll
But
screw them. It'll stop them from getting screwed unless they, do something
yeah,
funky with the
so like
contract, but
say I go donate to a collective. Like I donate to Pitt's Collective. Have I done that yet? I don't know. But let's just say I do it. I
I
donate to
hope
Pitt
not.
I donate to Pitt's Collective. I make sure they keep Holstein in Oakland. Where's like the collective? Like where's like because is the collective money just getting distributed throughout the because technically isn't that like pay
Yeah,
to isn't that like pay to play if they're getting money
yeah.
like because the collective isn't like the collectives are bringing in other brands like partners to give like their athletes and stuff their deals but like the people who are donating money to the collective like are you just like
Yeah, I don't
where's that money
understand.
going?
Like Penn State on Thursday or Friday before the game. They're having, like, after their practice in SoFi, it's like a dinner for, like, NIL or whatever, a luncheon, and it's like $300 a person.
I
You get
know.
you like eat and then tour the stadium. It's from 10 to 12.
I know with Pitt's Collective, I they're doing some stuff. Like there's different tiers of like monthly memberships and stuff, and like you can like tier you can tour the Pete if you like because it's like dude, I toured the Pete for free. I went to school there for 3 years.
Yeah.
The Pete's like the student union at Pitt with like the unofficial student union just because they have like food and the gyms there and so like I've been in the
Yeah.
Pete. They have like game day experience. So listen to this. So Pitt they have these like three experiences. You can like do you can act like a recruit for a day. So you do you pay and then you act like a recruit. They like give you like the recruit like service like you like
So you get to go look at the library?
I'm like so you're imagine you being like 42 years old and like
You're putting on the
you're having like the pre like the game day like the pre like you know the recruit meal like you're walking
Yeah.
on the field and then there's just a bunch of like 18 17 year olds like next to you, and you're like 42 because you paid $300 to be a recruit for the
That
day. And
is
then
so weird.
they have a couple other ones too. They have like the VIP, like where you get to watch like the first like series like on the sideline or some shit. Did I think about purchasing one or two of these things? I don't know.
You would have tore the Pete.
I want to become a Prime member and be able to
They
tour the
might
Pete.
think you're like an actual player.
That'd
They'll
be
be like, oh,
funny.
he's our new kicker.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, we kind of went off the beaten path there, but
Yeah.
SMU 34 at Louisville 27. SMU kind of really they're clicking. They're clicking. And like I said preseason, go back to the ACC thing, I said SMU's offense it,
If you do that, you got to go to after week one, week zero, or whatever, actually.
okay, all right, I'll come clean. All right, so preseason, I was really high on SMU, but after watching them against Nevada, after watching them against like BYU, I took everything back that I said preseason about them. But recently, I decided I reset everything that I said about the preseason. I didn't like early on in the season, they were doing this two quarterback system, and I'll always be against this two quarterback system because
game
of football is about getting in a rhythm, getting clicking, and a two quarterback system, you're just not doing that because you're coming out for a series or two, then you got to go back in there. It's like weird. You're off the field too long, then you're trying to go back on the field. It's just a weird system. They're going with Jennings, which Jennings is electric, and they're putting up points. They're playing well. I was kind of worried whenever I saw Louisville climb back because I know SMU's defense can kind of be a liability, and Louisville's got that quick hitter type of offense. But
yeah,
SMU's back at it. I think they're a player in the ACC.
They definitely are. Yeah,
It's gonna be interesting. I know Pitt plays them. Pitt kind of has a tough stretch in ACC play coming up. Cal, SMU, Louisville, Syracuse.
It's kind of crazy, Clemson. That the ACC is better than the Big. Like, I would have never expected that coming in.
All right, that's actually a good transition. Let's get into this. So about the 12-team playoff, I was totally wrong, and I misspoke, and I said that the Power Four conference champions get the first four.
No,
that's wrong.
They don't?
It's the four highest ranked.
Yeah.
It's the four highest ranked conference champions.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, like, the group of five can be in there.
Yeah, so the group of five can be one of those top four.
Yeah.
Which I just automatically thought, like, the four was for the Power Four.
Yeah, but that's basically what it was made for, to keep, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but say the Big 12 keeps beating the shit out of themselves, and, like, their best team is...
Say West Virginia wins and they have one more loss, they'll put a three-loss West Virginia team over, like, a one-loss at UNLV.
At number four?
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough for me to, like, even come with a counter-argument that I want to come with.
They'll just favor the schedule.
Yeah, but, all right, when you – see, look, UNLV got put on the Padres game. Electric series, by the way, guys. But UNLV, they're going in the right direction. I'm not saying it's going to be – but they're playing their cards really smart. Think about how they've done their schedule. They've done their schedule by scheduling all their out-of-conference games besides one, which was like Las Vegas State in a school that I don't think is a real school. It's like a vo-tech school. It was like Las Vegas State University. I was like, dude, is this even a real school? I never see the game. I don't even know if the other team showed up. I don't know if it's a real school. It might be an online, like, school. I could go attend Las Vegas State University right now online, I think. But besides that game, all Power Four opponents. And what they did was they declined the Pac-12's offer, because the Pac-12 is still going to be a group of five. It's going to be a group of five school conference. It's not going to be a part of the Power Conferences.
Yeah.
And the reason they declined that is it made the Mountain West pay them more money, but it also gave them the flexibility where they could still leave the Mountain West when the Big 12 comes calling, and then they'll be able to join a Power Four. And that's their grand scheme, is they're holding out for whenever one of those Power Fours come calling, which they'll come calling on UNLV.
Feel like that'd be Big 12, right?
Yeah, and they just got $25 million guaranteed for next year from the Mountain West. And it's offering a long-term commitment to the Mountain West.
Wait, so the Pac-12 is just Washington State, Oregon State, they play, and that's who is the conference champion?
What, like this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing that. But next but next year, yeah, how would they do that? Like, what if, like, yeah, because, all right, it doesn't
matter. I mean, either way, it's the highest rated group of five, and neither of those two would be.
Yeah, but when you think about it, I don't know. Dude, Washington State's kind of been playing solid, no?
They got ran by Boise.
Okay, never mind. Casual ass take.
Somehow they beat Washington at Washington, though.
Yeah, I know. And then whenever I watched them against Texas Tech, they were, like, putting up a million points.
and they went, like, versus San Jose State, that defense was literally awful. They were lucky to win.
Yeah. But, what was I getting on? Oh, so the Pac-12 is there next year, even though they're adding all these teams or whenever it is. It's literally just the Mountain West rebranded as the Pac-12.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, the Pac-12's coming back. Okay, it's literally the Mountain West. You can watch that this year. Yeah. It's not like this. It's not this big anomaly. Like, it's literally the Mountain West rebranded as the Pac-12. Besides, like, two teams from the Mountain West, like UNLV and I forget what other team. Like,
is Boise going to stay there?
No, Boise State's going. Boise's Pac-12.
Yeah, they're going to stay in the Mountain West, technically.
Okay. I was like, well, you know, yeah. But, yeah, this 12, oh, okay. Also, I hope this 12-team playoff isn't, like, I hope they really put the 12 best teams in.
Yeah, like I don't want to. If they just put all the highest-rated STC teams, I'm going to be pissed.
Like, I don't want this to be like, oh, this is like a big-ass brand school and they were supposed to be good this year. And, oh, well, they're 9-3, but they've showed us that, like, sometimes they can be really good, but they've also dropped three teams. And hypothetically, if you put these teams on a neutral site field, who would be favored?
It would be the favorite. Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's like, I don't give a fuck in this hypothetical Vegas world. What are we doing now? You know? Yeah. Like, what are we doing now? Who's the best 12? I want to see the best 12 teams. I don't want to see this best hypothetical world. But that's what we're going to see because the playoff has a deal with ESPN. ESPN has a deal with the SEC. And the ESPN dick rides the fuck out of the SEC. And it fucking sucks. Like, college football, like, I hate like, this dick ride world that we live in college football.
Yeah. Well, okay. Like, we'll do this. Pick your best 12 teams right now.
All
right,
let me pull up, but, like, it's, like, I'm sick of this shit, of it.
Dude, because not gonna lie, once Vandy beat them, I thought they were gonna try and, like, sneak them into, like, 25 or something.
But it's, like, crazy. It's, like, oh, the SEC this, SEC that. I don't give a fuck. What has the SEC put on the field this week? I just saw fucking Tennessee put up 14 points against Arkansas. I just
like,
saw.
I don't like doing the, well, he beat them and, like, yeah. Look what they did to them. But, like, Oklahoma State beat the, like, put up 40 points against Arkansas.
Yeah, I know. That's what, like, I'm like, it's like, all right, my best 12 teams right now. It's tough because we're only 6 weeks in. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ohio State. All right, I'm gonna start. All right, this is how I'm gonna see. I'm gonna seed them. So I'm gonna go. 1-1-1-1 from each conference first.
Yeah.
All right. Ohio State 1. Texas 2. Miami 3. And then who am I missing? Technically it's like.
BYU.
Technically speaking, it's BYU right now. 4. All right, and then I'm gonna go to 5. I'm gonna go.
UNLV.
No, I'm gonna go Oregon.
Oh, 5. You're not gonna put the
no.
group of five.
No, yet. I'm gonna put no, nah, because I'm gonna put the group of five at 12.
Yeah.
6. Give me Penn State. Like, and then this is, like, the gray area. Like, who's truly...
Like, I think Clemson.
Yeah,
and
I would
then
put Clemson,
Texas A&M.
I would put Clemson 7 right now. 8? I mean, dude, like, 8? All right, let's go. Who'd you say? You said A&M.
I would put Texas A&M there.
8. 9? I would put... What, Iowa State?
Yeah, unless you... Did you put Bama in there already?
I haven't put Bama in.
Are you just doing based off record or, like, what you've seen?
I want to do it off what I've seen, but it's tough on what I've seen versus... Like,
yeah,
cause if
yeah, I put Bama in there, like, towards
yeah.
the top.
Yeah, but it's like I would put Pitt as the top 12 team in the country right now.
Yeah, like I wouldn't include Ole Miss in there.
It's just there's a lot of football to be played, but like I want the committee to get it right when we expand to 12. But I'm afraid that this 12 team playoff is just going to turn into an SEC dick ride like it does every single year. Because if you follow the money, where is the who is ESPN giving their money to? They're giving it to the SEC. Who is ESPN giving their money to also to host the college football playoff on their networks? Oh, they're giving it to the college football playoff. That's like a duality of interest right there.
Say Miami wins out, so they're in the ACC championship game.
Yeah.
And Clemson wins out too, which means they beat Pitt. And say that that's Pitt's only loss.
Yeah,
if you Pitt's think they're 11, gonna get in?
No, because
like Pitt, I don't know if they get in.
No, I don't think they're gonna we're gonna see a 9-3 SEC team get in over 11-1 Pitt team in that situation. Guaranteed. Because, like, Pitt's getting, like, no respect. Like, I haven't heard anyone talk about Pitt yet besides on – I literally just heard Coach JB talk about him today.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, Holstein's putting up numbers. He put up, like, 430 total yards. Desmond Reed is second in the country in – oh, fuck. And all-purpose yards. He had like 100 and something receiving yards and 80 rushing yards this last week.
Yeah, he had 11 catches for 150, I think.
Yeah, it's like he's an electric factory, but like...
I mean, that game should have been a lot more than what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that pick six was kind of brutal. But...
And Holstein was due for a pick six because he should have thrown like five of those this year. It's on those outbreaking routes, he's so late on it. And the ball just...
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're like long throws and you can't be late. Never want to be late outside, and you never want to be late over the middle. Yeah. Like Indiana, dude. If you look at Indiana's schedule, if they beat Nebraska, they could be 11-1.
Okay. Washington's still solid.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they lost to Washington State, but. So
they went for it on fourth and like goal and got stuck.
Yeah, and they did a sprint option. So Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, I'll give that to them. Then they play at home against Michigan. And then Ohio, like, if they lose, I don't know. How's it going to work if, I don't know the tiebreakers. But like, Penn State should only have one loss. And that would be to Ohio State. If Indiana only has one loss, too, who do they put in?
Yeah, I don't know. I remember how the tiebreakers worked last year with
the strength of the opposite of your opponents, right?
Yeah, it was like the strength of your
The record of your opponents, your conference opponent's record. Whatever. Yeah.
But it's like interesting because I want to see the best 12 teams. I don't want to see six fucking SEC teams, four Big Ten teams, and like one Group of Five team, and then one like I don't want it, and then one ACC team.
Like you asked me if I think Penn State's one of the what did you say the top five?
Top four.
Yeah, I mean, tell me why they can't play with Tennessee or Ole Miss or Alabama.
I just wanted to see Penn State not stall out on drives.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. But, like, I think they do fine against all those teams.
I know. I think I'm not going to say what I'm going to say now. I'll have to wait until tomorrow to say what I'm going to say. But it's just did you see ESPN – the Big Ten and the SEC are in talks of like a alliance where they're gonna schedule like out of conference games strictly with just themselves, and then they're looking for automatic bids to the playoff.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that. Yeah,
four each or something like that.
Yeah, that kind of be stupid.
It's just I don't know where college football is going, and it just sucks. And then you had
we finally have a playoff. Just put the top 12 teams in.
Yeah, I just don't know if the top 12. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. It's just I'm starting to see this SEC bias in the ESPN. It's like you wouldn't know that Vanderbilt just beat Alabama. Like, where is it?
Yeah,
where,
if that was Penn State at. Say they beat Ohio State, then they lose to, like, I don't know who's like
they say like Rutgers or something.
Like, yeah, Rutgers. How far do you think they drop? They probably definitely drop out of the top 10.
Yeah, it's I don't know how you just drop 6 spots after losing to Vanderbilt.
Like, that wasn't like a fluke loss. Like, Alabama had plenty of chances to come back and win that game.
Yeah, no, Vandy dominated the game. We talked about 41-17 on, or whatever it was, on time of possession.
Yeah.
Whatever. I want to see the top 12 teams. That's what I want to see. All right, let's get into some gambling from last weekend. Oh, man, did I have a career day. Let's go through it real quick. SMU Moneyline at Louisville. Reason why I like this game was Louisville was coming off an emotional game against Notre Dame, and it was a spot where SMU was coming into one of their, you know, bigger conference opponents, and SMU was clicking, and I watched Louisville at Notre Dame not click, and I watched them be all emotional, and it was an emotional win. Oh, what's that sound? You hear that?
Oh, is that me fucking around with my mic?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was.
But it didn't have any, like, I didn't think the sound was coming through.
And I just like that. And like I said, I've been high on SMU. Pitt -3 at UNC. I thought this line was way too low.
But yeah, I'm pissed I didn't take it because I kind of got scared from it.
But at first I was like, oh man, this is definitely a game Pitt's going to drop. Like, Pitt couldn't get a stop, and it looked like they were about to go up like 14, or it looked like they marched down their first drive, had to settle for 3, and then they threw a pick 6, and I was like, man, this game should be like 14-0 right now. And it just looked like it was going to be one of those games where they let UNC hang around and win, but didn't happen. Indiana -13.5 at Northwestern. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show. I'm a ride IU for a minute, I think.
Yeah, you did.
Good cover, 4th-and-5 touchdown with like 2 minutes left. Like, you can't write a better ending than that. WU Moneyline at OK State. I'm surprised I got this at plus money. I don't know what the books saw in OK State. I thought this was pretty easy. Clemson -13.5 at FSU. Also one of my dogs that I'm going to ride till the wheels fall off. UNLV -6 versus Syracuse. I lost this one. This was my only loss of the week. And it happened on Friday, so it was all good.
Yeah, maybe you should just stop with the Friday games.
Well, you know we have a game on right now. You know Liberty's playing football right now.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that.
Yeah, but we got like 3 games on Thursday, 3 on Friday. UNLV plays on Friday this week against against Utah State.
Is it Michigan? No, that was this week.
Arizona State -3 against Kansas. This one I have with asterisks next to it because I wasn't sure if I was going to bet it, but I ended up betting it, and it was just – I mean, I thought I was dead in the water. To be honest,
Kansas is just classic, find ways to lose games.
Classic Kansas, man. Up late, choke late. It's great. Florida Moneyline, I added thanks to you that you put it on my radar that this was plus money. I don't think this UCF squad is good at all. And it brings me to question. It really brings me to question this. Kansas State is -4.5 against Colorado next week. Who do you think won the bye week?
Kansas State.
And what's Colorado coming off of?
Well, who did they beat last?
UCF.
Oh, UCF.
And what have we learned about this UCF squad?
Well, they fucking suck. And Kansas State can really run the ball.
Seems interesting. Just a little tidbit for you guys. I mean, you're gonna have to find out more tomorrow. But so that brings me to 7-1 on the weekend. I went from 22-12 to 29-13.
Jesus Christ!
And guys, I'm giving you guys some dogs here. If you guys notice a trend, I have not taken one plus money, plus points. Like, whenever I take a dog, I'm taking them straight up on the money line. I have yet to take the points with that money line. I am taking dogs, and when I take a dog and I hear it barking, I'm taking it outright all the time. Because when the dogs bark the loudest, they come out the hardest or something like that. But yeah, that's actually been interesting. I literally was just thinking about it. I was like, because I see you took Rutgers like +7 and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking to myself.
Yeah, you always just take straight up money line.
And I just find these money line spots that I like, and I'm going to take them. Because it's like, if I'm taking a dog to be in a close game, I'm going to take the risk on the.
With the juice?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. All right, Sam. Yeah. So you were 21-15 before the weekend. Now you're 25-18-1.
Isn't that crazy? It was your first push.
Yeah, I know. I know. Because I highlighted it in yellow. I was like, "Damn, that's the first push of the first push of the year coming in week 6."
Yeah, Penn State -27.5. They just couldn't get anything going in the first quarter, which really killed it.
You've lost so much on Penn State on these big lines that they covered all last year.
I know. Would they win like 12 out of whatever last year? Like the only ones they didn't cover was the losses. Texas A&M -2, that was easy. Georgia -24. They had literally every chance in the world to cover this. I don't know what's wrong down there in Georgia.
I think we saw that last year, too.
Yeah.
By the way, Georgia, another player arrested.
Yeah, I saw that. Clemson -13.5. I'm going to keep riding this team. USC -8. They were up 7 driving. If they would have just scored, they would have put the game away. Miller Moss threw it like a ball, got tipped up in the air and picked.
Bro, can we talk about – hold on. Actually, go through your things. We'll talk about
then West Virginia +4 and Florida money line, and then pushed Rutgers. Rutgers, I mean, that was a hell of a push because they could not score.
You're lucky you got 7.
I know.
Like they got 7 on the board, and you got like, that's crazy.
Dude, I was hoping they would go for 2, because like. You know, go for 2, score 6, you win next time.
That's weird. Vegas didn't add the hook of the 0.5.
Yeah, I know. And thank God I took it kind of early because it dropped to 6.5. Oh.
So let's talk about PJ Fleck for a second. What was he doing going for it on 4th and goal with 20 seconds left when you only need a field goal to win the game?
Yeah, that was ballsy because I don't – if I recall, they said he was down at first, too.
Like, yeah, like it had to go to review for it to get...
Yeah, like it wasn't like... I don't know. I really wish USC would have won that game, though. Because Penn State was at 3.5. Now it's at 5.5.
Yeah.
Before that game.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I think... I'm not going to say what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I know. But also, since I'm going, it's going to be like... It would have been better if they would have won.
Oh, yeah, for the – yeah. I mean, actually, let's talk about this. So we talked about PJ Fleck rowing the boat. All right, cool. He got his big row the boat victory, and now they're going to go off and be like, whatever, 6-6 or whatever they do down there. And
I mean, they're going to win this week too, UCLA. All
right, well, that's not the point.
Maybe they're not as bad as we thought. No, they're pretty bad.
Lincoln Riley, dude. What's your thoughts on Big Link down there in SoCal?
I don't know. I mean, I thought he was headed in the right direction, but that Minnesota loss really puts him back on him.
I think this is a perfect spot for Penn State, just because I think SC is going to be a little banged up because they've played like back-to-back-to-back like physical-ass games.
All those teams did was run.
Between Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. You know.
But, like, this is a perfect upset spot for him, too.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say it. All right, I'll just say it real quick. I think the game goes almost a lot along the lines of the WVU-Penn State game.
Like, kind of close and then just score?
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
IMO, though, but hey. What do I know?
They should be able to run the ball on them, so.
Yeah, and then it should be able to open up some things in the pass game.
Yeah.
I don't know about Link.
I think he is heading in the right direction, though.
Yeah, like, but how much...
the defense is getting better.
How much leash do you give Link?
I would give him, at least another year.
You give him two?
I would give them two.
All right, what if this year turns into a complete dumpster fire and they finish like 7-5?
I think they win out after Penn State.
I gotta see who their schedule, who's on their schedule. All right, so Maryland, Rutgers, Washington. I don't know, bro.
I think they're still Notre Dame one.
I think Notre Dame smacks them.
Like, Rutgers and Nebraska are going to USC. Like, Rutgers won't be able to score enough points, I don't think.
Yeah, Rutgers, they definitely win the Rutgers game. But the Maryland game, I could see them dropping.
No, they're not going to lose.
Dude, at Maryland after the Penn State, bro. I could see them lose. Washington's going to play them tough. Nebraska's going to play them tough. Notre Dame.
But Washington's their type of game. They win that game.
Yeah, we'll see.
Who knows? Maybe they win this week and I'll be sad.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean, we covered all that and more.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to cover all that. So, this was recapping a little bit of other stuff. You can listen on Spotify and YouTube at Ball Sticks and Fist. I kind of want to start spreading our wings a little bit. I kind of want to get into the sticks, the fist, and the other balls.
We got to start like a Twitter page and stuff first.
So, send your applications in. With your sport. Yeah, with your sport and how much you know at ballsticksfist@gmail.com.
write an essay.
Yeah, write an essay and we'll get back to you. I think that's ballsticks. Oh, it's ballsticksandfists@gmail.com.
When are we going to start, like, social media? Or is it too late in the season? Probably now.
Dude, they probably should have done that.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, you're having a hell of a season, and I'm still above, 7 games above.
Yeah, dude, just wait till I start firing the lays. This would have been a perfect...
I'm surprised you haven't started.
This would have been... Dude, imagine after the UNOV thing, I just freaking fired the remaining card as a lay. Oh. Oh. That would have been so nutty. But I didn't. Maybe this weekend I'll break out of the lay. Since we have a big weekend, maybe I'll cook up something for the people. And all four of the listeners can ride the lay. But we're doing an episode tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll have a little preview and we'll have all that good stuff for this October 12th slate coming up. You got anything else?
No, that's it.
That's gonna wrap us up here at your favorite show without an intro. I mean, without an outro. Peace.